I'm becoming more and more convinced that there are few psalms that are not messianic psalms. The entire section is 20 to 22, but we're going to look at 21. The section is 19 to 22. We're going to look at 20, but let's read this section. We'll see it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So, as a summary, because this is a psalm about David's delivery from death, from the extremity of being shut into the enemy's camp, and the king remembering that David was the darling, the favored one of Israel, and that what could give David more kudos with Saul than that he betray the king of the Philistines, and yet the Lord delivered him. There is a summary then about affliction, and may I say affliction to the furthest extremity, and that's what this ending is about. And then in recounting this, David is brought to, as so often happens, David's life and the places where God puts David makes him say things that foretell, if you will, the pieces of the life of the Lord Jesus, as we see in verse 20. He says, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. And in the context, it has to do with deliverance, but it does not have to do with ease, does it? David was taken all the way, if you will, to the brink of death and preserved there. The nature of this is a promise, but it's a promise a promise in darkness. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. There's an analog here that's very well known to all of the Jews, and that's in the Passover. They bring the little lamb in, they keep him for a week, and then they kill him. But they don't break his bones. They nourish him. They kill him. But they don't break his bones. So there is this strange side-by-side of death but not bone-breaking. And what does that mean? We put that... This is a sight that David had then of the Lord Jesus. Says he guards all his bones. Well, there's a promise here, this guarding. What's the nature of the guarding? Allow me to attempt an explanation that you can meditate on and maybe make your own. There was a promise here of no separation from the Father. No, may I say, ultimate separation from the Father. That beyond, may I say, beyond hell, beyond death, there was the promise of that which was stronger than both of those two. So the bones not being broken, saying, you might be killed, but your bones won't be broken. There's a promise beyond death. This is so poignant for us if we see this statement in light of the Lord Jesus' statement in John 17. We know it, but this puts it in a new light. Turn with me to John 17. Or maybe you know it already. The beginning of the high priestly prayer. What does the Lord Jesus pray? Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Now, what is he facing? Condemnation, scourging, death, but prior to death is what I'm calling hell. Condemnation by man. The pain of his disciples leaving. His own countrymen condemning him. Separation from the Father. Experiencing hell itself. Death. And what does he say here? Glorify your Son. Beyond that, he guards all his bones. Beyond that, there is still the protection, the preservation, the promise, the and yet, right? Despite all that. And he just sums it up by saying, glorify me. What it means is that beyond all of that, and it's summed up here by David, he guards all his bones. The extremity that was ordained, Lord Jesus knew it was ordained. And so this phrase here, he guards all his bones. There is the ordained ordeal, but he guards all his bones. It has an end, an ordained end. And he preserves to that, beyond that end. For the believer, there are so many things that the scriptures give to us that point similarly. David continues to say, what can man do to me? In the New Testament, it becomes something like, everything is for my good. And I want to come to that again later. That is he guards all his bones. But there is this pairing. Look at the last verse in the passage here in the Psalm. Psalm 34, the last verse. There is a great darkness that is allowed. Isn't there? The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him will be condemned. None of those who trust in him will be condemned. The Lord Jesus had to go through the darkness, the sense of condemnation, the sense of separation, and yet he was able to pray prior to all of that occurring, glorify me. He guards all his bones. The believer is in the same place. There is the Lord allows an extremity. You know, the gates of the city closed. The Lord Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There is this sense of separation. And the believer's, may I say, activity. I think I can encompass everything that the believer is about. Comes between this pair. There is this sense of separation, but not really. And may I say, sense of condemnation, but it's not really. And the believer is here, and he has to work in and through that. In that sense, these three verses are all of Romans chapter 8, but traversed in backwards form. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And what does it end with? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, peril, nakedness, sword. They can cut off my head. They can kill me. Between those two, there is a sense of separation. We can at times feel condemned. The believer is as the Lord Jesus was. He was, yet there was a He guards all his bones. There was a promise beyond all of that. Lord Jesus was going through the trial. Lord Jesus was being whipped. The Lord Jesus was being put up on a cross. There was a promise. Obey me. I will bring you through this. And the same is for the believer. It's only as these two are assimilated for us. Separation, condemnation, that we can really begin to see that it's all for good. Otherwise we are too glib when we go to Romans 8:28. We have to see the no condemnation and the no separation before we can go to Romans 8:28, that all of these things have the supporting basket of he guards all his bones. It's a necessity for us to see the extreme, to be able to focus on the promise that the Lord Jesus was himself undoubtedly focusing in on. And praying for and toward, glorify me. He had a promise. We have a promise. All of our activity comes from this. We have then need for an active faith in this arena. We have to encourage ourselves with an active faith because of this large setting that we've been put in. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no possibility of separation. The extreme of that which the Lord allows his servants is truly extreme, both spiritually and physically. But he guards all his bones. It is absolutely provided for, if you will. It is ordained, cared for. As David saw those gates close, did he say, "Oh, well, that's interesting," or, "Well, it looked horrible"? Afterwards, he can say, "That was ordained." He guards all his bones. You and I have to have that active faith that says, "He guards all my bones. He's the one who has ordained every single one of these extreme circumstances." We encourage ourselves. We act in the world. It's very easy to curl up in a ball by means of the difficulty itself, by means of our expectation of something else. I've got a bad back going now, and at times I feel nothing. At times it's excruciating. And last night I wanted to curl up in a ball, and my wife was flogging me because I did not expect, you know, okay, my back's a little bit bad, but, you know, I had expectation that it was going to be this little minor thing, and, you know, when it really hurts, well, then I get bent out of shape. So our plans for our life get derailed. You know, David probably was seeing his life flash before his eyes when those gates closed. I didn't see it ending this soon. Ending like this. It wasn't supposed to be like this. But now he's able to write the psalm and say, "Many are the difficulties of the righteous." And for the believer, as Paul writes at the end of Romans 8, and as we see for the Lord Jesus, it may be to death, but no bones broken. In that sense, no bones broken. He guards all his bones. There is this absoluteness of God's care. What will separate us? What is then our real expectation here? Oh, well, I'll have my two-car garage and 2.5 kids. And what is my expectation? Only when I see the extremity that the Lord does allow, now when he does give me whatever he gives me, now I can say, "He works all things for good. I have promise." The Lord Jesus had promise, didn't he? And he invoked that promise. He even kind of commanded. Of course, he's the Son. He says, "Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you." You and I have promise. It's not the two-car garage, but we have many, as Peter says, precious promises. It's on that basis that we pray. So we encourage ourselves by faith. We act in the world by faith. How else do you and I get along in the world? Because of what? You know, chutzpah or my personality or my native gifts? No, promise. 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 Faith, acting on promise, allows us to act in the world. Otherwise, it's flesh. I'm sorry. And we do a lot of that, but faith acts on promise. Now we have grounds. And prayer is the same. Father, glorify me based on what promise? These promises become that which we grasp. So all the believer's activity then comes from this pair, no condemnation and no bones broken. We have spiritual promise. We have physical promise. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's physical as well as spiritual. No bones broken. There is no end. The basket goes all the way to glory. He will carry us. It makes us active in the world. It makes us active in prayer. I think that's all right. Yes. He guards all his bones.